I'm in Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say unto you. Let's go to the Lord. Father, Lord, I sure love you, and I know it's because you first loved me, and Lord, I thank you for saving me. Lord, I thank you for this book that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for Old Paths Baptist Church and these precious people. And Lord, you know Nan and I love these folks, and Lord, I appreciate the great liberty that we have to serve God together and worship and pray and do what you would have us to do. And Lord, I thank you for the generosity of my folks and giving to Brother Boatner. Lord, I'm asking you to bless my folks in a fourfold fashion for what they have given. Would you show them that they cannot outgive God? And Lord, just bless them for their generosity. And Lord, I pray the Boatners would receive a blessing when they get the check. Now, Lord, I pray for your touch and your unction and your anointing. I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing to the church. And Lord, I want to honor you. So, Lord, I pray for your help. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Several weeks ago, I preached a message on sound doctrine, and so I am going to preach sound doctrine too, because sound doctrine is connected with victorious Christian living. We need sound doctrine to have victory in our Christian life. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in review, but listen to me, guys. Nowhere in that book does God say, well, it's okay if you're not victorious as a Christian. It's okay if you compromise. It's okay if you quit. It's always about victory. God and they. It's not that we in and of ourselves can have victory, but us in Christ, us with the power of the Holy Ghost, us in obedience to the Word of God, we can be victorious in this life to the end of this life and stand before the Savior and hear the great words that we long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, the Bible says in Psalm, this is Psalm, you don't have to turn there, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. What's the rest of the verse? That I might not sin against God. Now listen to me. A proper knowledge of the Bible is good. And a proper knowledge of the Bible is often said to give us the opportunity to live victoriously, to live above sin, to live in conquering in the flesh. But it does not guarantee that it will, that we will. I can teach you right. You can have right doctrine and still do wrong. For instance, there's many a man that's had a Bible in his hand and iniquity in his heart. There's many a woman that understood the fundamentals of the faith, but she had mischief on her mind, not the Lord. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Titus chapter 2, look what it says in verse 1. But speak. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Titus, a young preacher. What's he doing? He is giving him a list of what to preach for sound doctrine. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's a semicolon. So the Holy Ghost inspires Paul, preserves the word, and gives us a list of what God had in mind when he gave the command, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Am I making sense to you? Do you see where I'm trying to take you? And so sound doctrine, I'm just going to run through the list. You follow it here. There's sobriety of thought. There's gravity in emotion, control of our flesh, faithfulness, charity, patience, holiness in conduct, lips that do not accuse, false accusers, command over our lust, temperance, good conversation, good works, to love your husbands, to love your children, lives of chastity, management of a household, keepers at home, and obedient to God-given authority. Now that is not any doctrinal statement of a church that I have ever read. But that is a list of sound doctrine in the Word of God. Do you know what I could do? I could preach a whole message on every characteristic that we just read and that is there in the Word of God. Is that not true? Let me just give you verse number 2. It says that the aged men be what? Sober. Sober. You're talking about sober thinking. Okay? You're talking about sober thinking for a godly man requires a man to be filled with the Word of God, filled with Scripture, not the nonsense that is produced by the entertainment industry in America with TV and movies and internet. Verse 2, grave. That's talking about having our emotions governed by the Lord much easier if our lives are filled with prayer. Filled with the Word of God, rather than the wasteful babblings that's going on in social media. Amen. Temperance, making sure that the circumstances of our lives don't cause us to boil over with rage or grow cold toward the things of God. Listen to me, you could get so consumed with what's going on in our country, you lose your vision of doing what God, okay? Or you can get so cold that you forget to do anything for God. No. We want to be temperate, okay? And listen, it is possible to be temperate. It is possible not to let circumstances mess up our lives if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths, rather than walking in the flesh and satisfying the lust of the flesh. Listen, just because you like certain music doesn't make that godly music. Just because you like a certain movie or TV program doesn't make it a godly movie or TV program. Say amen there. Well, I like that. Well, you know what? A junkie would tell you he likes heroin. Does that make it okay? Are we okay here? Sound in the faith, verse 4. Sound in the faith. Hey, it was our blessed Lord. He will show us the blessedness. He will show us the true nobility of being faithful. What did He say? I do always those things that please the Father. He's the Son of God. He could have done whatever He wanted to do here on this life. He didn't. He did what God wanted Him. He was faithful. He set His face as a flint, and He was faithful. I'm not sure those movie stars, TV stars, sports stars that you admire so much would give you the quality of faithfulness that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you. Amen. So what are those people doing? They're living for themselves. We're not living for self. We're living for the Savior. In charity, you evidence charity tonight in your giving. But let me say this. You know what we ought to do? We ought to compare our Lord's sacrifice at Calvary to the covetous appetites that we have at times. Now listen to me, I am not being hard on you, but each and every one of us, we are covetous. Amen? That is one of the bad characteristics of our old nature. And so, but you compare the way that the Lord, what did the Lord do? Think about this. The Lord put each and every one of us ahead of Himself. You want to talk about charity? Put others before yourself. You know who you start with? Start with the Savior. He is before you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay? And so what we want to do is we want to adhere to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul. Right? And then what do we want to do? We want to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's charity. Is that what the Lord did? That's what the Lord did. You said, what is that? That's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. Patience. Oh, I hate preaching on patience. He said, why? Because I am in need of patience. Amen. And look up here. Most of y'all are too.
Amen.
Okay, who can I learn patience from? Okay. How about if I look at my Heavenly Father who laid out His plan? How long ago did the Lord lay out His plan of salvation? It was over 6,000 years ago, right? And then you see the Son of God fulfill the plan of salvation on the cross of Calvary, but what's He waiting for? Our Lord is patiently waiting for the full fruits of His resurrection victory. Has He gotten the full fruits of His resurrection victory of salvation? No, not yet. But what's He doing? He's patiently waiting. You and I, we get talking to a sinner. We want that sinner to get saved right now. But if you'll watch the Holy Ghost deal with a sinner, He is what? He's patient. He woos him. He convicts him. He deals with him. He's patient with that sinner. He's not pushing that sinner just to say a prayer. He woos him. And over years of ministry, if I have learned anything, listen, I am not going to convince a sinner to get saved. If God doesn't convince a sinner that he's lost and he needs to get saved, there's no hope of me convincing him. There's no hope of me convincing a saved person to live for God. Nope. I just lift him up. He says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So I just preach that book. I'll just lift him up as high as I can lift him up. Trust that sinners will come to him and get saved. And the saints of God will fall in love with the one who died for him. You with me? That's sound doctrine, guys. You know what? We could learn patience if we choose the right instructors. The right instructors, that book, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God. Over in the book of Hebrews, you don't have to turn there. Hebrews chapter 7 says this. We have a Savior who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Is that our Savior? And yet, you and I, we live and walk in a world full of people who are doing what? Following the prince of the power of the air. I'd say there's a little contradiction there. You with me? So it's obvious, is it not obvious, that fellowship with those walking close to the Lord will be a whole lot more profitable in a spiritual sense than the ungodly communion with people that are caught up in the course of the world. Somebody says, well, you know what, those people, that person, that's a good person there, they just got caught up in the wrong crowd. That's not true. Do you know why people are in the wrong crowd? They want to be. You know why people listen to the wrong music? They want to. Do you know why people live wicked lives? Look up here. They want to. Amen? No, they're not good people. They got a wicked heart and they're following that wicked lust of the flesh and they are not fighting a good fight. And so therefore they're not what? They're not victorious in this life. They don't know the joy. They don't know the peace of God. They don't know what it is to listen to a special or sing a congregational and the Holy Ghost move in your heart. You get that. Can't help it, it's right there. But boy, you'll get all excited about some heathen activity out there. The Eagles scored a touchdown, yay! And you think that's normal. And a person gets up and gets happy about singing about Jesus. You go, look at that weirdo. You're the weirdo around here. Amen. Those guys are getting paid an awful lot of money to do that, by the way. Let me give you a Bible verse for that. Who you hanging with? Proverbs 13 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's Proverbs 13, verse number 20. Let me ask you a question. Did our Lord ever lie? Never lied. He spoke only the truth. Did our Lord ever yield to temptation? Never yielded to temptation. What did his words always do? His words always edified. His words always gave life. His words need to fill our hearts, need to fill our minds if we're going to have victory in our life. We must have the strength of the power of the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts. You know the power that's in that brain? I've been saved 41 years. I have not listened to rock music for 41 years. Okay? It's just a fact. But you know what? I can walk into a store and they can be playing those stupid oldies. And they're playing a song that was part of my past, and I am telling you, it's hard for me to get that stupid thing out of my mind when I walk out that store. So what is that? It's power. That's why, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that what? I might not sin against God. You're not always going to have a Bible right there, but you're going to have to do battle, and you're going to want to take that sharp two-edged sword, and you want to pull it out of your heart, and you want to run it through your brain so you can wash that stuff with the water of the word and wash that nastiness out of there. That's sound doctrine, guys. That's sound doctrine. That's our Lord. So what does sound doctrine teach here? Sound doctrine teaches that wives are commanded. They're not recommended. They're not preferred. But they're commanded to put their husbands ahead of themselves. Now, who commands you to put your husbands ahead of yourselves? The Savior does. And what did your Savior do for you? He denied Himself, and He put you ahead of Himself so you could be saved. So He's not telling you to do anything that He hasn't done a thousandfold ahead of you. Why doesn't a woman submit herself to her husband? Look up here, ladies. It's because you're not right with God. Has nothing to do with your sorry husband. Has to do with your sorry heart. Now, I didn't think I'd get a whole lot of amens there, but that's the truth there. I'm telling you, ladies, you'll never be right with God if you're not submitted to your husbands. You can do all the good works you want to do. You can give all the money away you want to give. You can go to church all you want to go to church. But down in your heart, you'll be a rebel against God because God said, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And listen to me. If you submit to Him, but you're only submitting to Him because you have to, and you let your husband and you let your children know you're not happy about submitting to Him, you're just a pure D rebel. You're just like Jezebel. That's sound doctrine now. And who told you to do that? Preacher didn't tell you to do that. The Savior told you to do that. And I'll tell you, you'll never know the joy, you'll never know the peace of God in your life until you know what it is to submit to the Lord and submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Amen? And God just made a woman that way to submit. Right? That's how He made them. The Lord told us husbands to love our wives as Jesus loved the church. How much did He love the church? The Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So what are you not willing to sacrifice? What are you not willing to do to make her happy? Who told us to do that? Hey, listen, Pete. This thing, this courtship, I mean, this is preparing, making the way, making sure this is who God wants you to marry. But buddy, you're taking a big step. You're taking a whole lot of responsibility on there. Now, I mean, you got your hands full taking care of Peter Claire, don't you? Now you're going to take on, when you get married, you get to take on taking care of a woman. And then not long after that, kids are going to come along. I mean, like rabbits coming out Claire's, ain't them anyway. Is that true or false? And so you better make sure you got something that in your life that'll give you victory. Be ready to accept that responsibility. He loved us while we were what? Yet sinners. Well, buddy, that love that He has for us is an everlasting love. And that love that we should have for our wives should be an everlasting love. There should never be any doubt in that woman's heart, in that woman's mind, that I don't love her. I mean, it's okay if she thinks once in a while, I'm put away with her or put up with her, you know, put out with her. Well, you didn't like that, did you? I didn't say I didn't love her. Just said, you know. A little tension there. Oh, that was 5-10 years ago. Parents, that book commands us to train up our children in the way that that Bible commands us to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition. Hey, news alert. Mom and dads, you're in charge. Those kids are supposed to do what you tell them to do, and they're supposed to do it with a smile on their face. No rebellion. You say, well, how do you do that? I'll tell you, take the rod of correction, you apply it to the seed of learning till they get it in their heart. Yeah. I know that's not politically correct, and I couldn't care less. Lord, have mercy. Well, who told us to do that? The Son of God, who submitted Himself to God the Father, though he was co-equal with the Father. And he tells us, my Lord, he drank that cup of wrath for me. Well, why can't I do the hard things in training up a child? Are you okay? He said, what is that? It's sound doctrine. You know what I see the Bible teaching in sound doctrine? I see that you and I, as born-again children of God, we're supposed to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sacrifice for others. Sacrifice for others. Let's go to Philippians. Keep your finger there in Titus. Go with me to Philippians, if you would, please. Chapter number 2. Here's sound doctrine in a nutshell, talking about our Lord. Philippians 2 and verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because Jesus Christ was. This is the Lord. Let's start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation. He was not concerned with what people thought about him. And took upon him the form of a what?
Servant.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then what did the Lord do? The Father, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. So what's sound doctrine? Follow the example of Christ, that he sacrificed for others. Look up here, that offering you gave, okay? Every one of us could have taken that money that we pledged to go, or the money we put, and we could have put it at a good, we're not talking about sinful stuff, we're talking about paying an electric bill, putting some gas in our car, something like that. What did you do? You put the need of the boatners above that, and you're going to scrimp and do whatever you have to do so that you could give that money. That's the example that Christ gave us. And it blesses. It truly is more blessed to give than to receive. It really is. But you know what that does? That's sound doctrine. That sound doctrine is really about the world seeing the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ manifested in us. Remember that story I told you back in World War II? I think it was over in Germany. And a blind man, young man, was selling pencils at the train station. Had a little tin cup, and he was completely blind. That was his only source of getting some bread or something like that to eat. And so he was at the train station because there's a lot of people coming and going. And, he had a little sign around him, pencils, whatever, marks or whatever it was, you know. And so one day there was a rush of people and he got knocked over. He got knocked over. His pencils go all over the place. He's blind. And there's just a mob of people. And a man came over and he grabbed him. He said, sir, he said, are you okay? And he helped him up. He said, wait right here, he said, and he got his cup, he gathered up all his pencils, and he put his pencils in, and he took his hand, he put the cup in his hand, he said, there, he said, I got all your pencils, and here's a couple marks, and he's like that. And he starts walking away, and the man goes, sir, sir, and he said, what? He said, sir, are you Jesus? And he said, no, I'm not Jesus. He said, why would you ask me if I'm Jesus? He said, sir, no one has ever treated me with that kind of kindness before. This world, they don't read our doctrinal statement. They watch our lives. How you talk, how you act, how you react. That's sound doctrine. That's what we're talking about. But that violates the world's philosophy. And it surely violates the flesh. Said, what's the world's philosophy? What's the flesh? Self-centered, selfish, me first, and self-love. Is that right? Let's go back to Titus chapter 2. Let's continue on our little list here. We did the love husbands, love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet. Do you know discretion has gone out of America? And you know something else? It's leaking out of the church at a startling rate. According to the old dictionary, discreet means prudent, wise in avoiding errors or evil, circumspect, cautious, reserved, wary, hence discerning, discreet. Listen, if it was true almost 2,000 years ago that the aged women should teach the younger women to be discreet, surely it's needed today that the older women teach you younger women to be discreet in this perverted generation that we're living in. Discretion. Our Bible demands some discretion in our life. Now, I am going to show my age in this preaching, but I want some of you to at least listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost and see if there isn't some truth in this. Do you know why all this social media exists? Because everybody wants to tell everybody else about themselves. That's all it is. Do you know why listen, you buy a phone today not to make phone calls, but because of the complexity of the camera and the video camera inside of it. Do you know why? Do you know why there's worldwide link-ups? So that you can show the world everything about you. I didn't think y'all'd like that. Can I say something? You shouldn't tell all your feelings. You shouldn't tell all your secrets. You should have some discretion. You shouldn't uncover half your breasts. You shouldn't uncover your thighs. Your clothing shouldn't be so tight I can see the imprint of your bra and your panties. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. That's not discreet. Amen. We need discretion. We should have decency. There's no decency anymore. When Tim Green travels in a coat and tie, a suit coat and a tie. His daddy does that. When I travel, I don't travel in a suit, coat, and tie, but I wear nice slacks, dress shirt, that kind of stuff. Do you know what most Americans travel in? Pajamas. Pajamas. And you go ahead and call them comfort pants or whatever they are. They're pajamas. You got that? They're PJs. PJs are to go to bed in. PJs are to be worn around the house when there's nobody but family at the house. So what is that? Discretion, that's what that is. Daddy shouldn't be walking around in their underwear in front of the children. Mama shouldn't be walking around in her underwear. It's discretion. You don't put a little boy and a little girl in the bathtub together. It's discretion. Said, what is that? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Y'all with me? I've lost some of you, huh? I want you to think about something. Any place you go, you just see people. Hey, people park their cars out here, and they're just like this. People are in the malls, and they're walking like this. I can't even do it with two thumbs. I'm a one-finger guy, okay? But I mean to tell you, I stood there at a cash register, and a cashier was behind that, and she had her phone out, and she's supposed to be working. And she's doing the, and I am telling you, those words went across that screen like rat-a-tat-tat-tat out of a machine gun. They're walking down the malls like this. You have to watch where they're going and you're going, because they don't care about running into you. Are y'all with me? And saved people are just as bad as lost people about this thing. Hey, you don't need to fast from food. Fast from your phone and your iPod for a couple days. We're going to do it. No, we are. You need to see how much of a control that has over your... Oh, it doesn't control me. Good. Leave it alone. Here. 24-hour period. We'll start easy. 24 hours. Don't touch your phone except for phone calls. Somebody calls you, pick it up. If you want to call somebody, call somebody. No texting, no internet sites, no Instagram, no Facebook, no any of that stuff. Amen. I told you, I was going to lower the boom. If, listen to me carefully, this is my supposition. If people who claim to be saved, if they gave one-tenth as much time and energy to telling the world about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved, rather than texting and telling about themselves, we might have revival. Think about that. There's no discretion in our society anymore. Right? Hey, listen to me. If you don't believe in taking a bath and using soap and deodorant, we believe in it. Okay? And instead of you being a foul odor to somebody else, why don't you just have a little discretion and take a bath, use deodorant, and put cologne or perfume on. Golly, we've had people in the church, when they left the church, not this church, but we had to take the Lysol. We had to spray the pews. Do you guys remember that? Lord have mercy. No discretion. Are we okay here? Does it say to be discreet? And so you older women, the older women should be teaching these younger women by example what discretion is. You just don't blurt out all your feelings. We used to have a rule. We would talk about things around the table and stuff, but that was Keenan business. You didn't go running your mouth about Keenan business all the way down the road and all like that. You just kept it with the Keenans. You said, what is that? Discretion. It's discretion. Listen to me. Do you want me to have discretion when you talk to me about personal stuff? Well, then you're supposed to have discretion. It's for all of us. I don't blurt your business to everybody and anybody. We're supposed to have discretion. Okay? Bible demands it. Hey, and then it says chaste. That's pure. You know what we need to teach these little girls? To be ladies. No, I mean it. We need to teach them how to sit like a lady. How to talk like a lady. Remember last week, who was here last week? Weber's were here last week. And those little twin girls, weren't they just as cute as could be? I tell you, those girls just got a blessing. They don't even know how much of a blessing they got. Their birth, mom and dad, pure D losers. And Weber's adopted those children, and now they're in a Christian home going to a good church and learning about God. Buddy, they've been blessed. And one time they were in the store, and somebody said to him, said, those kids are blessed to have you guys. And Mrs. Weber spoke up, and she says, well, she says, really, the truth is we're blessed to have them. That's her attitude. But anyway, you know, the kids, they came over after church last week, and we fed them, and those little girls are always rolling around. And if I heard those teenage girls once, I heard them 25 times. Okay, girls, sit right and pull your dress down. Girls, sit right and pull your dress down. So what are they doing? Teaching them to be ladies. There's a certain way a lady should sit. There's a certain way she shouldn't sit. Amen? She's teaching them to be a lady. No, 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 no. Ladies, don't talk like that. No, no, no. Ladies, don't act like that. No, no. Hey, we're supposed to teach them. It's chaste, pure. No, no, no. You don't grab the boys. No, you don't wrestle down on the floor with the boys. Chaste. You know how a lot of women in America are dressing their little girls? Like harlots. Right? They dress them like harlots. Then from the time they're 2 or 3 years old, they sit them in front of the television. And what are they watching on the television? Nakedness. Men and women kissing, men and women taking their clothes off, men and women jumping in the bed, men and women committing adultery, men and women committing fornication, all that kind of stuff. But they go to church. But she dresses her like a harlot. She lets her watch that stuff 7 days a week. And then the little girl is 14, 15, 16 years old, and she comes up to the pastor. She says, Pastor, my little girl, she's in a family way outside of wedlock. What is wrong? Do you see how mentally retarded people are? Oh, yeah, you went to church once a week. You didn't even like it when the preacher got in your kitchen and preached about stuff like that. You didn't follow the directives of the Word of God. You sat them in front of that TV. You dressed them like a whore. You let them get involved in the world. And then you're surprised when they live like a heathen? That's not chaste. Huh? I'm a fanatic when it comes to this stuff, guys. I really am. I am a pure, I think a woman's hair should be long, I think her dress should be modest, her skirt should be modest, her shirt should be modest. Hey, listen, if stuff is sticking out, if I can see your stuff, it's not modest. I don't want to be a dirty old man, but I am a man, and a woman exposing parts of her body, my eyes go to that, and it's not good thinking. So it's a woman's responsibility to do what? Dress modestly. Amen. And it's the older women that should be teaching the younger women to be chaste. Amen. Pure. It is not wrong for you to be a chaste virgin whenever you get married, whether it's 20 years old or 25 years old or 30 years old. Amen. It's right. It is wrong for a man to touch a woman. It's wrong for a woman to touch a man that's not married. We're teaching chastity. We're teaching purity. Amen. It's honorable. It's right. It's good. And it will benefit you in your lifetime. Yes. It's right, chaste. Act like a lady. Dress like a lady. Keepers at home. You get preaching, keepers at home. And I'm telling you, this modern age, what do these modern, independent, liberated women think when you tell them, you should be a keeper at home? Think. I want you to think for a minute. I think one word that liberated, modern, educated bunch of women that want to be out in the world, and they say, well, you should be a keeper at home. You should take care of your husband. You should take care of your children. Take care of your household. What do they think you are? Ignorant? A slave. Think you're a slave. You're just a slave. He's got you chained to the stove and chained to the bed. That's what they say. And that you're a slave. Okay, and that liberated woman, she's got that big shot job, right? What time does she wake up in the morning? 5 o'clock? Right? Takes a shower, does her hair, paints her face, irons her clothes, gets ready, jumps in the car, drives an hour in traffic to the car. We okay here? Okay. Goes in, and 9 times out of 10, her boss is a what? Telling her what? What to do. And then for 8 hours, she does what? What the man tells her to do. Okay? And she has all that issues, okay? And she has to drop the kids off at daycare or grandma's house or the neighbor's house and all that kind of stuff. And listen, I know we got single women in here. We're not busting on single women. We're talking about what the lost world is saying. Okay? Then they come home. Then they got to do the wash, clean the house, and do the cooking and all that kind of stuff. And they say that you're a what? And you got a man who loves you. He loves you so much that he has covenant with you to be your husband until you die or until the rapture. And you have babies, and he wants you to stay at home. And he's giving you a refrigerator that works and a dishwasher that works and a vacuum cleaner that works. You got hot and cold running water. You got heat and air conditioning. You got a nice soft bed, and you got children there. And you can bring up your children, the nurturing, the admonition of the Lord. And you can cook and bake and take care of business and stay right there at the house. And then... But that woman says you're the slave. Yeah. Am I making any sense here? Yeah. You girls, when you start courting, if one of your first questions isn't, what do you think about a woman working out in the world being married? And what are your intentions if I would marry you? Has Heather asked you that question yet? Good. What'd you tell her? Make as much money as you can make. Buddy, I'll whoop your butt. I'm serious, girls. No, I'm serious. Jiminy crickets. And listen to me, that wasn't always the way it was with Miss Keenan and I. I mean, when we first got married, what did I know about Christianity? I knew nothing. What did I think about her working? That was double income. That's what I thought. Buddy got in that book, and God started working in our lives, and I saw she wasn't supposed to be out there in the world. You know, guys making passes at her and all that kind of business. Mr. Bond, remember I told you about Mrs. Bond this morning? Her husband, Mr. Bond, he was a great church member. He's a great guy, super great guy. His wife, they married. She was 17 years old when they got married. He was like 21 or something like that. And he never put that woman out to work. He was lost. He didn't get saved until he was over 50 years old in my church. One day I was driving to a Bible class with him, and I said, Mr. B, you never had Mrs. B out to work. And I said, you had tough times growing up. I said, why didn't you have, I said, that the world says that. He said, preacher. He said, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm not a dope. And I said, What do you mean? He said, preacher, I worked in those construction sites. I worked in those factories. He said, when we were building that hospital, I watched those doctors. When I worked in that factory, I watched those guys go back in those rooms and make passes at those women and suck those women in and commit adultery. He said, I wasn't putting my wife out there. Yeah. That was a man that was lost. Yeah. Are we okay here? Yeah. Money is not that important. Yeah. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. Teach them. Let's go on. This teachers at home, good. Boy, that covers a lot of territory. Can I explain good to you from my perspective? Okay? Ever since I can remember. I can't remember not remembering when it was. My mother would always say, Michael, be good. If I was going somewhere, okay, if I was going somewhere, she said, do you have a dime? Do y'all know what that was about?
Pay phone.
Got in trouble, had a dime. She said, did you change your underwear? She wanted, if I was in some kind of an accident or something, she wanted me to have clean underwear on. And then she'd say, be good. Be good. And then daddy's part of that was to show me the pain involved when I was not good and I was bad. And he showed me the repercussions of being bad versus being good. They taught me good versus bad. Good won out every time. Do you understand that? Are y'all all with me? Be good. That's what I try to tell y'all. Be good. Hey, just be good. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Counsel. Listen to me. Are you listening? No one is good naturally. Your children are not good naturally. No one knows how to be good or to do good naturally. Someone must teach the wayward what is good. It's good. It's good for you to do your schoolwork. It's good to clean up your room, not live in a hog pen. Good. They need to be taught how to do good. They need to be taught what is not good. And they need to teach that good is not an opinion, nor is it about culture. You know what I'm going to get to do in February? I'm going over to the Philippines a week earlier than Brother Harwood's pastor's school because Brother Fajardo down in the southern part of the Philippines wants me to preach a family meeting to his people. And Brother Harwood said, preacher, they really need a family meeting. Listen to him. I am not going to teach them American culture. I have taught in the family in Europe. I've taught in Mexico. I've taught it in Canada. I've taught it in South America. And I don't teach American culture about marriage and training children. You know what I teach? The Word of God. It's right for an American to love your wife like Jesus loves the church. You said, what are you going to preach when you get down to those Filipinos? The same thing I've been preaching to you people my whole life. Same thing. It's not culture and it's not opinion. Well, I think a little bit of wine is okay with dinner. I don't care what you think. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Hey, do you know what's going to be legal in America, all over America pretty quick? Marijuana. I mean, it is growing like crazy. Well, what if I came in and say, well, you know what? Pennsylvania passed recreational marijuana. I don't drink. But, you know, I'm going to smoke a little marijuana once in a while. Because I think it's okay. It'll just soothe my nerves. Look at me. Those days are coming, and I guarantee you there'll be preachers in America that tell his people a joint once in a while is okay. Why? They don't have sound doctrine. It's not good. It's not good. So it's not, what's good isn't about opinion or culture. It's about the Word of God. It's about that book being our final authority. Now listen, as a pastor of Old Paths Baptist Church, if I do not teach you people what is good, I am not teaching sound doctrine. You know, I can preach good doctrine. I can preach correct doctrine. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. Sanctification. That's good doctrine. But sound doctrine is stay pure and stay chaste until you get married. And then after you get married, be faithful to your husband and to your wife. That's sound doctrine. Hey, sound doctrine is, hey, don't jump into the junk of the world. Pornography's wicked. Amen. Right. Adultery's wicked. Fornication's wicked. Right. Say amen. Liquor's wicked. Yeah. That's sound doctrine. Not just correct doctrine. Folks need to be taught what is good. But over there in verse number 5, it says obedient to their own husbands. And we've covered that. But you know what sound doctrine is? Sound doctrine is the right Bible order for the home. What's the right Bible order for the home? Christ is the head. Christ is supposed to be the head of that man. And mister, you listen to me. Some men are the hardest men that I have found to be on their wives not being in submission. I have found that those men are not submitted to God. I have found in my travels, and it's not great travels, but I've been around, I have found that men that are submitted to God and love their wives the way Jesus loved the church, they don't have problems with that woman submitting, if she's a good woman. And so I think it all starts with the man being submitted to God. I'll tell you another thing that these women know, if you're submitted to your pastor or not. And that book says you're supposed to submit to the man of God. Does the Bible not say that? And if you're not submitted to the pastor, that woman knows that. Well, what does her flesh tell her if you're not submitted to God or the man of God? Well, hey, if you're not going to do it, why do I have to do it? See, you're supposed to be setting the example. And then it just filters down to the children. Well, mommy doesn't listen to daddy, and daddy doesn't listen to the preacher. Why do I have to listen to anybody? So you got a house full of rebels. And that's confusion by the acre. No. Sound doctrine has that biblical order of the homes. Let me ask you a question. What do the liberal churches think about sound doctrine of the family? They reject it. What do the modernists think about sound doctrine in the family? They reject it. What do these mega churches think about God's family order? They reject it. Are you listening to me? What do most independent Baptist churches think about God's order in the family? Not much. Not much. Well, I think a lot about it. I don't think you can have a happy home without God's order in the home. You look at the families in our little church, and you look at how God has blessed them. And it's because that man is submitted to God. That man loves that woman. That woman submitted to that man. And God has guided them and directed them and blessed them by the grace of God. That's what it's about. Why is it important? Why is everything I'm preaching here important? Look at verse 5, the last part of verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. What? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what, guys? If we don't practice sound doctrine in our lives, you know what we're doing? We're blaspheming the word of God. And it's not if the preacher sees you. And it's not if another church member sees you. It's if God sees you. And you're blaspheming the word of God. I want to tell you something. Daniel, in all his years, what are you, 14 now? 14 years, he has never come up to me and say, Pastor, I have never seen the doctrinal statement of Old Paths Baptist Church. Could I see the doctrinal statement, please? But you know what that kid has watched? He's watched his mom and dad live. He's watched Pastor Matt and Miss Steph live. He watched Miss Keenan and I live. He's watched Lori and Angus live and the way they live and what they practice and what they do. Y'all with me? You know what your life is? Your life is an epistle.
Yes, it is.
And it's read by everyone around you. And what they're supposed to be reading is about the love of God and the power of God to give us victory in this life. We should be a happy people. How many times have you heard people say, well, you know, if Christianity is anything like that person, I don't want anything to do with it. Because they mumble, they grumble, they complain, they gripe about the preacher, gripe about their church, gripe about their husband, gripe about their job, gripe about it. Who wants that? No, they watch how we live. They don't read our doctrinal statements. Okay, I want to try to close this up. Now look up here. I didn't say close up because I'm finishing in 2 minutes. I'm finishing my message. Go with me to Matthew. I want to try to tie it together for you. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I have what I believe is the first recorded message that our Lord preached. I'm not saying it's the first message that our Lord preached. I'm saying it's the first recorded message. Okay, you have red letter. Where's the first time red letters appear? What's it say there? That was his baptism, right? Okay, so what I'm looking for is the first time Jesus preached a message. I'm in chapter 5 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Go to verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Look at verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Look at verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Look at verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you see? What's this called? What do you call chapters 5, 6, and 7? Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is preaching. He's preaching. What's he preaching? He's preaching doctrine. Look with me at chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, etc. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at chapter 7, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now look, I just picked out a few verses by random, okay? Now look at chapter 7, verse 28. Chapter 7 in Matthew, verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his what? At his what? Did he teach on the Trinity? Did he teach on dispensational truth? What did he teach on? Righteous, godly living. Christ's doctrine was sound doctrine. It's about how you live. So what are you getting at? Guys, just because we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, just because we got some doctrine straight in our life, doesn't mean that we're living sound doctrine. We should want, we should desire, we should crave, we should yearn to be more like Christ. We can't do it in the arm of flesh. Don't go out and try harder. Recognize that without Him you can do nothing. But with Him you can do all things. Reckon that old man dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Ask for, beg for that filling of the Holy Ghost. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. That which you're struggling with, be determined in your heart with the help of God, with the grace of God, you're going to get victory over it. Don't quit. Don't let it go in. Just because you've messed up a few times, don't quit. Suck it up, get up, and hit it another lick. We okay? See, my Lord's doctrine was right living, holy conduct, treating others in the way that was pleasing to God. In Mark chapter 11, he's preaching about how to behave yourself in the house of God. He said, my Father's house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. He was telling them how to live. So our Lord's doctrine is personal conduct and righteous living. Now, this is my last verse, and I'm going to close. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Really, sound doctrine is what sets saved people free from the practice and the chains of sin. I'm in Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye what? Yield, yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What have you obeyed from the heart? That form of doctrine. What's that form of doctrine? Sound doctrine. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness by the grace of God. Do you see that? Do you see what I'm trying to put out there tonight? That's not just what that doctrinal statement says that we believe. It's that practical Christian living. Amen. That look, now look at me. You can't do it by trying harder. Yes, sir. You can only do it with the help of God in your life. We must be filled with the Spirit, or that flesh runs us. Amen. And we don't do that which is good, which is sound doctrine. Let's pray. Amen. You let the Lord have His way now. If He spoke to your heart, you talk to Him. Take some